All right, let's jump right in to a case that really made waves. Sullivan v. O'Connor, a 1973 case from the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. It all revolves around a plastic surgery procedure, and you guessed it.
Yeah.
Things didn't exactly go to plan. This case really changed the way we think about medical contracts. What happens when a doctor makes a promise, but the reality turns out differently?
That's a great question, and Sullivan v. O'Connor is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it shifted things between doctors and patients. You know, before this case, suing a doctor for breaking a contract, that was pretty rare. It was all about medical malpractice. But this case brought contract law right into the operating room.
So paint the picture for us. Who are the players in this legal drama?
So we've got Alice Sullivan. She's a professional entertainer, and she decides she wants a nose job.
Okay.
To look better, maybe give her career a boost.
Makes sense.
She makes a deal with a surgeon named Dr. James O'Connor. Two surgeries. Sounds pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, two surgeries, new nose, done.
Exactly. Except not so fast. The first two surgeries don't work. They don't improve her appearance at all. And then a third surgery happens that wasn't even part of the plan, and it makes her nose even worse than before. Think about that.
Oh, wow.
For someone whose career depends on how they look.
That's a disaster. So what does Sullivan do?
She sues.
Of course.
And here's where it gets interesting. She goes after Dr. O'Connor for two things. Breach of contract, because he didn't deliver what he promised, right?
Right.
And negligence medical malpractice. Now, the jury's decision, this is a head scratcher.
Yeah, what do they decide?
They sided with Sullivan on the breach of contract, but not the negligence.
Interesting.
Meaning they didn't think Dr. O'Connor was a bad surgeon, just that he didn't keep his promise. You see, a surgeon can be skilled, but still be held accountable for not keeping their word.
And this brings us to the idea of damages. Now, could Sullivan get money for pain and suffering in a breach of contract case? That's usually for personal injury, right?
You're right. It's tricky. Typically in contract law, you're talking about expectancy damages, getting the value of what was promised. Like you order a tailor-made suit and it's messed up.
Right.
Expectancy damages would cover the cost of getting that perfect suit you were promised.
Okay, so what other kinds of damages are there?
Well, you've got reliance damages. Those cover losses because a promise was broken.
Yeah.
Imagine you book a dream vacation.
Yeah.
Paid up front, and then bam, the agency cancels last minute. Reliance damages, they wouldn't just cover your money back, but also the disappointment, the missed opportunity. And then there's restitution. That's about giving back any unjust enrichment. So if someone broke a promise and made money off of it, they got to give that money back.
So in Sullivan's case, what kind of damages did the court go with?
They chose reliance damages, and this is where Sullivan v. O'Connor gets really groundbreaking. She got her medical expenses back, which was only like $622.
Wow.
But she also got compensation for the pain and suffering from that unnecessary third surgery.
Hold on. She got compensated for pain and suffering, even though it was a breach of contract case.
Exactly. And there's more. The court also awarded damages because her appearance was worsened.
Really?
I mean, think about it. For an entertainer, a disfigured nose is a major loss. The court essentially recognized that some promises, those dealing with our bodies, with our well-being, carry a deeper impact when they're broken.
So it wasn't just about the physical pain, but the emotional distress, the impact on her career. This case really broadened the scope of what damages can include.
Absolutely. And it sends a clear message. Doctors have a special duty to their patients, what we call a fiduciary duty. They're obligated to act in their patients' best interests. This responsibility needed to be reflected in the legal options available.
So the stakes are high.
They are.
We're talking about a doctor's duty, you know, putting their patients' needs first. But what about something like cosmetic surgery?
Right.
This case has to be a game changer there, right? So much of it is about those specific promises.
Oh.
About what a patient will look like afterward.
Definitely. I mean, think about it. People going into cosmetic surgery, they often have a very specific vision.
Right.
If the surgeon doesn't achieve that, the emotional and sometimes even the professional fallout can be huge.
Yeah, it's not just vanity, right? It can affect their livelihood, their self-esteem.
Yeah.
This case, I mean, it's bigger than just looks, isn't it?
Absolutely. Much bigger. Imagine a surgeon who promises a patient you'll walk again after a procedure.
Wow.
That's life-changing. And if that promise is broken,
yeah,
the impact is massive.
It's almost like Sullivan v. O'Connor kind of blurred the lines, didn't it?
Yeah.
Between contract law and personal injury.
It did. It recognized that in certain areas, especially medical procedures, you know, a broken promise can have real consequences, physical and emotional consequences, just like a physical injury. It's not just about the stuff you can see. It's about the trust, the vulnerability in that doctor-patient relationship.
And Sullivan won on breach of contract, not medical malpractice. What does that distinction tell us?
It's crucial. The court wasn't saying Dr. O'Connor was incompetent, you know,
right,
or negligent. They were saying he made a promise and didn't keep it. And that had serious consequences for Ms. Sullivan. It sets a precedent holding doctors accountable for their words, not just what they do during surgery.
It raises the bar for how doctors and patients talk to each other. I mean, doctors have to be so careful about what they say about outcomes. No guarantees they can't keep.
Exactly. And patients need to be realistic, too. You know, medical procedures always have some risk. It's a two-way street. Open communication, informed consent, those are essential.
Yeah. It's more than just signing a form.
Right. A real understanding.
The court also said patients need clear evidence of a specific promise. It's not enough to just say, the doctor promised me I'd look like a movie star.
Right. Right.
How can patients make sure they have that proof?
Good documentation. Detailed medical records. Consent forms that spell out the procedures, the expected outcomes. Those records can be crucial if there's a dispute later.
So Sullivan v. O'Connor, it changed things beyond the courtroom, didn't it? It changed how doctors practice and made patients more aware.
It did. Doctors became much more cautious about making promises, and patients became more aware of their options. If a doctor broke a promise, they had legal options. It had ripple effects everywhere.
And it goes beyond medicine, doesn't it? It's important for lawyers who handle contracts for professional services.
Absolutely. This case shows that when a professional, a doctor, lawyer, architect, whoever, if they make a promise and don't deliver, the client might be able to get damages for more than just money. Things like emotional distress, damage to their reputation.
So contracts aren't just about money and services. It's about trust, reliance, and sometimes really personal things are at stake.
You know, it's interesting. We haven't talked much about what the dissenting judges thought.
Oh, yeah. What about them?
They agreed with some points, but they were worried about holding doctors to what they saw as an unrealistic standard.
What were they concerned about? Did they think this ruling would be bad for doctors?
They were worried that if doctors were too afraid to make any promises, you know, about results, it could actually hold back medical progress.
Interesting.
Discourage doctors from trying new treatments. They saw it as potentially stifling innovation.
That makes sense. There's a balance, right?
Yep.
Protecting patients, but also letting doctors do their job without being afraid of getting sued all the time.
Exactly. And this is still something we grapple with. As medicine changes, as new treatments and procedures come up, the law has to keep up, but also make sure both sides are protected.
So Sullivan v. O'Connor wasn't just a one-time thing. It was the start of a bigger conversation.
A conversation about what medical contracts really are, what damages can be claimed, and how to balance patient expectations with, you know, the reality of what medicine can do. It's still shaping the relationship between doctors and patients today.
It really makes you think how one case, Sullivan v. O'Connor, you know, it's still relevant all these years later, but things have changed since 1973.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, the law itself, how have things evolved since then?
Sullivan v. O'Connor, it was like opening a door. A lot of states saw what happened and started updating their own laws about medical contracts and informed consent. Like, they realized the old way of doing things needed a refresh.
So let's say today, a patient in California, let's say they're in a similar situation. Could they use Sullivan v. O'Connor in their case?
It's not as easy as just using a case from another state.
Right.
Every state has its own laws and interpretations. But Sullivan v. O'Connor, it had this ripple effect.
Yeah.
It helps solidify that idea that medical contracts aren't just about services. They're about really personal stuff. And the law needs to recognize that.
I bet some of our listeners are thinking, okay, this is all interesting legal stuff, but I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, so why should I care? What's the big takeaway for the everyday person?
That's a great point. I think it all boils down to clear communication, you know?
Yeah.
Making sure you understand each other in any contract, whether it's getting your car fixed, hiring someone to remodel your kitchen, or yeah, even going through a medical procedure. You gotta be crystal clear about what's being promised, what the risks are, and what you can do if things go wrong.
So be an informed consumer, no matter what you're getting.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to ask questions, get everything in writing, and make sure you really get those terms before you sign anything.
And if you're ever unsure, talk to a lawyer who knows about contracts. Better safe than sorry, right?
Absolutely. Sullivan v. O'Connor shows us that the law is always changing, adapting to new situations, protecting people's rights. It's amazing how one case can make such a big difference.
Well, I think we've really gone deep on Sullivan v. O'Connor today. We've covered the facts, the arguments, the court's decision, what it all means. It's been fascinating.
It really has. Always a pleasure to break down a landmark case like this.
And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of contract law. Until next time, keep those legal minds curious.